So my name is Alan Lazar. The name of my book is Roam. That's spelled R-O-A-M, not like the city. And my website is www.alanlazar.com. That's A-L-A-N-L-A-Z-A-R.com. And you can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/alan.lazar.
Alan, first of all, this book, Roam, sounds absolutely fantastic, especially in this world we live in today. There are so many things that are disturbing, and this is such a sweet and wonderful story. How did it come to you? Is it based on a real story?
You know, we actually did lose our dogs for about 6 hours, and that was actually a very scary 6 hours, just wondering if our little dog had been run over, if she was cold or hungry. I'm sure all of the dog owners out there know it feels just so scary when you lose your dog. And that kind of got me thinking, and I also started seeing newspaper articles about dogs who had been amazingly reunited with their owners after 2 or 5 or even 10 years, thanks to the miracles of chip technology. There was actually recently a case where a dog in a California shelter was picked up 8 years after it had been lost in Virginia and was actually reunited with their family. And I was just fascinated by where those dogs had been during those long periods, you know, how they had traveled across America, what they had seen. And that was definitely part of the inspiration for Rome.
And therefore, the lost dog named Nelson and his journey was born. Tell me about, first of all, who is the human star in this story?
The human star is his great love, his owner, Katie, and she is a concert pianist who picks Nelson up at a pet store when he's a little pup. And Nelson is a mutt. He's not a pedigree dog, and as a result, no one wants to buy him at the pet store until Katie comes along. And they form a wonderful relationship together, as all dogs do with their owners. Unfortunately, some problems ensue in her marriage, and by mistake one day, her husband Don leaves the gate to their backyard open. And Nelson is a very curious dog. He smells the wonderful scents coming from the mountains and rivers outside the city, and he's curious. He wants to explore the universe, and in that moment when the gate is open, he forgets all about his great love, his owner Katie, and he steps outside, and that is the beginning of his journey. He spends 8 long years wandering across America looking for his great love, Katie. He meets lots of dogs on the way. He meets other humans. He even spends some time with a pack of wolves. And, you know, it's a story of survival, but it's also a story of hope and inspiration. And it's the story of a dog, but it's also an every man and every woman tale of all of our journeys through life, love lost and found, our families, all that good stuff.
I have to ask you, though, did Katie's husband leave the gate open deliberately, maybe? At least maybe subconsciously, it seems to me.
Yeah, I think that's definitely inferred that he did. He never had a particularly good relationship with Nelson,
who
was always protecting Katie. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, so what were you trying to say in this story? It certainly is a cautionary tale, is it not?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I loved, when I was a teenager, I loved a book called Jonathan Livingston Seagull, mm-hmm. which I'm sure a number of your listeners may be familiar with. And I wanted to do that kind of, you know, inspiring adventure story with an animal as the lead character. And I thought just a dog would be a great lead character for that sort of story. So primarily it's a piece of entertainment, and it's meant to be inspiring. But at the same point, it is cautionary in the sense that there are many, many lost dogs out there. And unfortunately, many of them don't find their way home. So if there's a message to the book, it's if you're looking for a wonderful Christmas gift this year or other holiday gift, it's great to go down to the pound and pick up a dog or cat and take them home for the holidays, because so many of them need homes.
That's certainly true. And little Nelson, he almost gets euthanized along the way during his adventure.
Yes, he does. He does several times. I was pretty horrified to actually discover the statistics when I was doing research for the book, that between 4 and 5 million cats and dogs are actually euthanized at shelters every year. Recently, you know, there was a case in Alabama where an amazing beagle escaped the gas chamber in Alabama and survived. And he went on to find a wonderful home in New Jersey. But of course, you know, many of the animals don't get lucky like that. And it's definitely a reason just to kind of breed responsibly and all of that. But I don't mean to preach. You know, Rome is definitely meant to be an entertaining story more than anything.
Well, I get that. But there is you were talking about the sobering statistics. And I guess you believe that we should be responsible about spaying and neutering our dogs. I remember I had a boyfriend way back when who we had a dog. We had three dogs between us. And
wow, that's cool.
I know. But he would not. He said, "You don't neuter a male dog." And I remember being like, "Oh, that was a boyfriend, though. I never went on to marry him. I wonder why."
Yeah, no, good. You definitely made a good choice there.
Yes.
You know, he. I think the thing is that one dog that is left unspayed or neutered can actually, believe it or not, lead to 67,000 dogs over the course of 5 or 6 years. Because you know, each litter can be anywhere from 2 to 15 puppies, and if each of those puppies goes into breed, so that's a good figure to keep in one's head when one's making the decision. So
that certainly is true. All right, I have to ask: after 8 years on the lam, as it were, Nelson and Katie are finally reunited. That's so great! I'm so glad they get together. How did it happen, though?
You know, Pat, I would love to tell you, but I'm hoping your listeners are going to read my book, Rome. And I don't want to give away the ending. I get a lot of email from readers, you know, saying how they cry happy tears during Nelson and Katie's reunion. So I don't want to spoil it for folks, but I'll give you a clue. It's not through a microchip, but it does involve another very modern technology, which many Americans love.
Well, that's good. I didn't think you'd give it away, but I thought I had to ask. All right, now you are a very successful musician and composer. Tell us some of the scores that you've written for some popular shows.
Well, I'm probably best known for stuff I've done for TV shows like Sex and the City and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And the cool thing about the book actually is we actually have music for the book as well. My editor at Atria Books, Sarah Durand, knew that I was also a composer, and during the editing of Rome, she suggested I write some music for the novel. And I thought this was a great idea to enhance the emotional experience of reading, and so I wrote 7 special piano pieces which can be accessed via Microsoft Tags on your iPhone while you're reading, or you can also go to my website at alanlazara.com. Where you can also hear the music while you read. So it's kind of like a book with a movie score attached to it.
That is fantastic. And do you think that this may be picked up and made into a movie? It certainly sounds like it was. I mean, we have War Horse in the theaters now about a horse. Mm-hmm. Why not, huh?
Yeah, we do. We have an agent out there pounding the streets attempting to sell the movie, right? So we're hoping we're going to get lucky on that, definitely. I would love to see it made into a movie.
It sounds like it's tailor-made.
Thank you so much, Pat.
All right. Well, thank you for getting up so early. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you on this book, Rome. Sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much, Pat. And really appreciate you having me on the show.
All right.